Welcome to Off and Pacing on Tab Radio Racing and Sport. Tim Walker will be joined by Matt Young and Oliver County as they delve into the form for today's Pinjarra Harness Meeting, as well as an early look at tomorrow's meeting at Gloucester Park. We are Off and Pacing.
It's a very good morning, everybody. Welcome along to Off and Pacing on this Monday morning. My name is Tim Walker. It is great to have your company as we kickstart a brand new harness racing show every Monday morning. Looking forward to diving into today's meeting at Pinjarra and also Tuesday at Gloucester Park. And we'll have a quick look back at the Gloucester Park Friday meeting each and every week. Hopefully we'll be able to find you a few winners to boost your Tab Touch accounts. We'll have a chat to some of the key participants in the build-up to these meetings as well, hopefully get their perspective on their chances. And this morning, we're going to have a very special guest in the studio as well in Cameron Brown off the back of the Nullarbor receiving Group 1 status. But I can't do this alone, so I'm going to welcome in a couple of our experts who are going to help you find the winners. First of all, Matt Young is joining us down the line. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning to Ollie when he joins in. Everyone tuned in. Yeah, looking forward to the next couple of days of racing and plenty of news all around. It's been a pretty big few days in harness racing.
It certainly has been. And let's welcome in our other guest this morning that's joining us on the line in Oliver County. This is a name that you'll get to know more of. Oliver, a very good morning to you, or good afternoon to where we do find you over there on the East Coast.
Thanks, Tim. And fine, Matt, to you too.
Great to have you a part of the program, Ollie. So we know a little bit about Matt, obviously. He's been on our airwaves for many a year now. But just tell us a little bit about yourself so our listeners get to know you and how you came to be involved in following harness racing.
So I didn't have a harness racing upbringing. I didn't have a racing upbringing at all, but I was sort of a pretty keen sporting lover as a kid growing up. I loved my football, loved cricket. And sort of I got to 18, and as many 18-year-olds do, you start, you know, having a look around and seeing what else is out there. And I sort of came across racing, and I liked the thoroughbreds, and they were all right. And, you know, I wasn't in love with it, but I really enjoyed it, and I loved racing. And then I came across this sport, harness racing, eventually, and I just couldn't believe it. It was just so captivating. It was just unreal. And I think the moment that sort of really flicked the switch for me was seeing Lazarus sit three wide the trip and still nearly win an Inter Dominion final at Gloucester Park, which is just unheard of, incredible. And since then, I worked a corporate job and I loved it, and it was really good, but it didn't quite inspire me like harness racing does. And I thought I'll really give this form thing a crack. And I got in contact with some of the experts in the industry and just tried to absorb everything I possibly could. And I still am to this day. So I love it. And every day I wake up and think about it and go to bed thinking about it, which my girlfriend doesn't love at times. But no, I love it.
Many a late night spent over on the East Coast watching Gloucester Park on Tuesday and Friday evenings.
Wouldn't miss a race.
Yep. Fantastic. No, well, great. We're very lucky to have you on board. It is great to have you on board, and hopefully you'll be able to find our listeners some winners along the journey as well. So just to give our listeners a little bit of an insight to what the structure of this program is, we're going to dive into a few races from Friday night and also one from Saturday night before we have a really close look at Pinjarra today and also Gloucester Park tomorrow before, as I said, Cameron Brown does join us in the studio. But, gents, we'll go back to Friday night first and foremost and have a look at the performance of Hotly Pursued in the four-year-old classic. It was the feature event, $50,000 up for grabs. Here's the closing stages.
Hacker battling on. All is well is out very wide. He's good as gold. Franco Mecca in the straight. Rolling Fire is racing after Hotly Pursued, but Hotly Pursued on the inside responding well. Hotly Pursued in front. Rolling Fire can't get there. Hotly Pursued from Rolling Fire. Then Holy Hacker, and Hotly Pursued does it well to win by 2 metres to Rolling Fire. About five and a half.
A horse in form. And Matt, we spoke about this on the Retrovision Gloucester Park preview on Friday morning. Who the horse that you'd like to take home is Hotly Pursued, certainly making a very good case. Rolling Fire not losing any admirers out of it either.
No, absolutely. It sort of solidified that both of these horses are extremely talented. Hotly Pursued went to the line with the plugs in, 156.6, a pair of 27s, high 27s on the way home. But he's just got such a high cruising speed, this horse, and he was just able to get away with that softish lead time. He had to work a little bit to get to the front, but the first half was nice and soft, and it just made it basically impossible for Rolling Fire. Thought he was really good into second place, and then back in the field, you've got horses like Holy Hecker was a better run. He's good as gold. And Franco Mecca both doing decent stuff back into fourth and fifth. Charco Eagle and Luca Capello were pretty unlucky back in the field. But, yeah, I think those horses are different gravy compared to Hotly Pursued and Rolling Fire heading forward.
How did you assess it, Ollie?
I thought exactly the same. Hotly Pursued, he just seems to do enough. And he didn't win by far, but he did it really easy. And that seems to just be the way he does it. He won by pretty similar margin to Jaws of Lincoln too recently. I think he's just a winner. He just sticks his head out and wants to win, and that's a really good attribute to have. I thought, same as Matt, Charco Eagle back in the field was outstanding, considering it can race in so much easier. I thought it was really good, and it's got great gate speed as well. So that might be one to follow going forward.
All right, we'll get a recap of those at the end of the segment. The other feature event that I just wanted to touch on with you before we have a look at some of those other horses to follow was the Mares race, and this was built as a clash between Steno and Wonderful to Fly. In the end, Steno started a short price, $1.28 favourite, but it didn't quite go to the script that many were thinking would be the case, with Wonderful to Fly able to lead after the arms folded back. Let's have a look at the closing stages here.
Now, after Wonderful to Fly around the turn, Steno has raced up to Wonderful to Fly, and they're clear from Rumour Has It, Cyclone Charlotte. But Steno and Jocelyn said go, girl, and away she goes. Steno streaking away from Wonderful to Fly, Rumour Has It, and Steno wins easily. Steno by 7 metres. Second Wonderful to Fly.
Yeah, good performance that by Steno beating Wonderful to Fly. So, Ollie, how did you assess the Mares race there on Friday night?
It probably didn't pan out as most had it early on. I think most people probably had Steno rolling to the top and Wonderful to Fly sitting behind her, but she showed really good gate speed this start, Wonderful to Fly, and flew out and held Steno pretty easily in the end, which was quite a surprise. And I think from there, you really thought Wonderful to Fly, this might be her chance to get one back on Steno. And through most of the race, until she started over racing quite badly, and then you could just see Steno was breathing fire in behind them. And as soon as Wonderful to Fly sprinted up and the gaps opened, Steno just absolutely flew to the line. I thought the horses back in the field, Rumour Has It, was really good. Cyclone Charlotte was right off the track. I thought she was an outstanding run in behind them, but Steno just a class above at the moment in WA.
Matt, I guess the big question around Steno, and this was posed on the preview on Friday morning as well, is does that invitation come to Sydney? And I know, speaking to Jocelyn on Friday night, they would like to get some notification very soon as to whether she will get invited so they can start to prepare. She well and truly deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you look 6-7 months ago, we're talking about Wonderful to Fly heading towards a Eureka spot, and they were seriously looking at her. So if that's the case, then Steno has to be seriously looked at to be able to take a spot over in the Eastern States for that mare's feature. She's just absolutely flying, and the way that she was able to sit on that 26.8 down the back and then just peel out and go whoosh on the way home. She's got speed to burn, and she's just a horse that I don't think there's many mares in the state that can beat her in her current form. She's a different horse when she's off the fence, but when she's on the rail and she's able to, or especially when she's in front, it looks like she's unbeatable when she's in front. But on Friday night, she has showed how potent she can be off of that sit sprint capacity.
Is that the best way for Wonderful to Fly going forward as well, Matt, off what we saw in the four-year-old, that sit sprint capacity?
Well, I think I agree with Ollie and what he just said about watching the replay. There's been a lot of commentary about Shane's drive in the race, and I strongly disagree. It's an opinion.
Yep.
People are allowed to have their opinions. They want to voice it on Twitter and carry on for the like. My opinion is that she over-raced, and Shane may have panicked a little bit once he realised that Roma Hazard wasn't going to be able to go with her when she was charging heading into the back straight, but at the same time, he was absolutely swinging off her with a lap to go. So whether she just got too fresh out in front, that was a problem of hers that she had as a two-year-old. But yeah, I'm sure Shane will try and work it out and go ahead, but he gave himself the best opportunity, what he thought, to try and beat Steno, and she over-raced and Steno was just too good again.
All right. Now, before we move on to today, just a couple more to touch on. So, Penny Tiger, you wanted to table this one this morning, Matt.
Yeah, well, I just thought he was really good, and I thought if you're looking at horses going forward towards feature races, Penny Tiger and Franco Ecuador, they were just fantastic performances. So I think he did things really well, 27.6, 27.6. A bit similar to Hotly Pursued, the way he went about it. He just controlled out in front, but I just really like the way that Franco Ecuador hit the line as well to peel off of his back, and he was taking some ground off of him late. I just thought it was a really good effort. So those two are definitely ones to follow going forward towards bigger and better things.
All right, and Copycat Queen, Ollie, I know this was one that you were taken by early in the night, as were you, Matt. So, Ollie, your thoughts first and foremost on the three-year-old fillies race?
It ended up being a fantastic race. I think a lot of people leading into it thought that maybe Morsas might take a trail on Waterloo, and then that way Waterloo might have been just the one to beat. But when Morsas wanted to kick up and hold, then it totally opened up the race, and they went pretty hard, and she was okay in the end, kicking on for six, I thought fifth or six. But they ran the whole way, and it really did open it up for something to swoop. And Copycat Queen, it was an outstanding drive to get off four pegs and sort of pierce the gap and run away with it in the end by 11 metres. So 154.5, the track must have been really, really fast in the hot weather early on, but still an outstanding run. She probably wasn't quite up to the better ones last time in, but that win suggests she really could be up there this time in.
And that was something that Aidan DeCampo said in the parade ring as well, Matt, on the Trots WAX page, which you can go and watch every Friday night, that he's got a real opinion of Copycat Queen, that she can measure up to the best fillies.
Yeah, I don't think he's alone with that opinion. I think as she disappointed a few her trials, a couple of performances suggested that what she showed on Friday night she was capable of. It's great to see that she was able to do it, and it's going to be great to see her as a three-year-old filly. I thought Waterloo was fantastic in second. Very quick time, but just to do that work and stick on was really good, and more sass. Yeah, she just got pulling, got over racing in the middle stages, but to fight on, only beaten 17 metres, was a really good effort back into fifth placing, and she'll be winning a race pretty soon.
All right, let's get a couple of horses to follow from Friday night out of Gloucester Park. Ollie, you first and foremost.
I thought Cyclone Charlotte out of the mare's race was a really, really good run. She got pushed right off the track, and she still ran a 26 third quarter herself, and she was outstanding to still be right there at the finish despite covering so much additional ground, and she was obviously outstanding behind Steno. So I think that when she gets a draw, she'll just be winning.
Matt, have you got a few to follow?
Show Pony's going into my horses to follow. I think he's been racing with no luck recently, and his performances have been really good. So I thought he's one to follow, and I really liked the performance of Lady Prima Donna in the standing start. After being slowly away, she was screaming to the line just in behind them, only beaten 8 metres. So they're the two that I'll be black booking and hoping for decent draws going forward.
And just before we get to today, Ollie, a word Vegas strip on Saturday night in the Village Kids Sprint there.
It really did look his race on paper prior to the race, and he started $1.26 favourite, so that suggested as much. But just the way he got off the arm like a gazelle and led so easily, and he was obviously the top billing last year as a 2-year-old, but he really looks to have come back in good order, and he just did it easy in the end, ran home at 27.8, and sort of looks more to come there with Vegas Strip.
You're on Off and Pacing this Monday morning here on Tab Radio with Matt Young and Oliver County. Of course, we are going to have a look at Pinjarra and Gloucester Park now, gents. So let's go into preview mode here after being in review mode for the first part of the night. Show Pony, Lady Prima Donna, the ones to follow for Matt, Cyclone Charlotte for Ollie. Now to Pinjarra today. So Let's go with you here first, Ollie, because you're going to target races 3 and 4 to start off with before we get Matt's first one. Tell us, race 3, what's your take here in this Western Grains premium quality lightning lap pace?
So I thought in this race, to start off, Elephant Rock has a really good gate speed. So I thought he'd be able to drive up and he has options from there. He generally looks to take a trail, but over the short course, I suspect they might try their luck here at leading. I thought Just More Bling was an interesting runner first up for the Michael Brennan camp. So she's got a sticky draw here, but maybe going forward, she might be one to follow. And I thought Lucy Ann, she's shown a bit of ability in the past, but first up, she might not be quite there ready to go. But I think Scuttlebutt, he trialled outstandingly behind Lavrajo, only beaten 13 metres, and he's just a level 3 horse. So it's just super for this sort of race. He was really, really good two back when he was able to sit outside the leader and keep kicking in a lightning lap. He hasn't quite been able to put them away, but I think today looks his race on paper. So he's quite short, but one to put in multis or doubles or things like that.
All right, so that's Scuttlebutt in race 3, and you're also keen on race 4?
I thought in race 4, it looks like Valentina the Bullet should have the gate speed to lead, and with the stablemate likely on its back, then that looks the most likely map early on. I think Cindy Secret had one trial in October at Wanneroo, and it was an okay trial, but she's since changed trainers and hasn't stepped out in any trials. So I'm just happy to see what she can do here before stepping in. I thought Adelombo was really good last time in, running home at 27 behind Crigwell Road. She finished in fourth. I think this race today looks a lot more suitable. I'm not exactly sure where it'll land in the run, but I think with any kind of trip, if it was able to land the 1-1, it would just be just about a good thing, I think. But any kind of trip, it should go really well. So I'm really keen on Adelombo's chances.
All right, so that is Scuttlebutt and Adelombo in race 3 and 4 for Ollie. Back to him in just a moment. But, Matt, you're keen to look at race 5 and 6. So let's go race 5 firstly, the Western Grains Best Choice Lightning Lap over the 11.77 here. And you forecast this earlier on the Sports Daily on your preview that Under the Stars gets a look here.
Yeah, massive look, and don't like tipping horses that can be a little bit cagey at certain stages at the short quote, but I thought Under the Stars just looks really well put into this race and should go very close. One that I didn't mind for a place value in the race was Beersheba's Shadow, but it has been well farmed early. It's been $15 into $8, so the price has probably gone there, but at a much shorter percentage, I marked Under the Stars at around that $1.70 quote, and it's there at 130%, so I'm happy to be with him in race 5.
And you're also taking aim at race number 6, the Charles City Oaten Pace, Matt, over the 21.85, where Zara Tyndall's a $1.50 tab touch favourite.
Yeah, so this is the Michael Brennan double that I suggest that the punters play. I think this horse is short enough, Zara Tyndall, but I thought just gets a really good opportunity. He's had a few excuses and a bit of bad luck as of recent, so it does look very hard to beat. So nothing out of the box there. Races 5 and 6, the Michael Brennan double, and to go along, I agree with Ollie about Adelombo, as we heard, is my best bet on the Sports Daily.
All right. Ollie, you were keen to have a look at the next of our lightning laps, which is race number 7, thanks to Charles City Wheaton here. Of course, a short price favourite in Rock and Roll Sass.
Yeah, I thought Rock and Roll Sass looked really well placed in this. She was really good from the 1-1 last start. She finished a metre off the Watchmaker last start, and she came wide on the last turn, and she was really good. It was much more like what we'd come to expect from her, and I think she's got options from the draw. She's got really good gate speed, but I do think she's probably come up short enough in early markets. So I thought Heavenly Wage, it's been amazing, and it's few lightning lap runs. So I thought, despite the wide gate, I think the price on offer at the moment is actually really enticing. She was not beaten far by the wild card, who I think would be pretty short in this, and was able to beat home Holy Hecker, who was in the placings in the 4-year-old feature on Friday. So that's really good form for this sort of race.
And Matt, you're going to round us out at Pinjarra today with a look at the stand, which is race number 8 on the program.
Yeah, didn't mind race number 8. I thought Rich American gets into this race really well, and I could just see him being probably a bit of the value for the day. Ideal and Gold can miss away. Touched my little big man's first up, and I thought Rich American now getting up to be third up into the preparation. Distance suits, smaller field suits, I thought would be really hard to beat. So race 8, number 6, Rich American was my play in the 8th event.
All right, Rich American there rounding it out. So that's race 3, Scuttlebutt. Race 4, Atalombo. That's both for Ollie. Matt goes to race 5 and 6, Under the Stars and Zara Tindall. Heavenly Wage for Ollie in race 7, and Matt going race 8, Rich American. Let's turn our attention to Gloucester Park tomorrow night, Jensen. A quick snapshot there. So first and foremost, we're going to throw it over to you here, Matt, because you've got a couple early in the night, and the first of them comes up in race number 2.
Yeah, races 2 and 4 I'm looking at here, Tim, and I like Soho Confidential. He's never really been one of mine, but I really liked his trial. In moderate time, he did the work in the breeze, which has never been his go. He's got good gate speed. I thought he could get across and nearly lead this event, and being out in front, he gets a really good opportunity. Aiden DeCampo, we know that he can blast a horse off the arm. So race 2, number 4, Soho Confidential. Hopefully he's a half-decent price, but without prices, it's hard to really get too keen. And race 4, number 6, Mickey Jett. I think with the addition of Elta Red in the race, who looks the leader over the longer journey, I think Mickey Jett's a pretty smart horse, and hoping that just bolsters up his price a little bit. But I think after tomorrow night, we'll see Mickey Jett start a bit shorter in the future. So race 4, number 6, Mickey Jett, I thought was the best on the card.
All right. Now, Ollie, you're going to have a look a little later on in the night, starting off with race number 6, which is the Team Bond Pace for the mares.
I thought Don't Wake Me Up in this race, coming off a really good runner, Pinjarra, showing really good gate speed, would probably look to lead them up back to Gloucester Park. So I thought coming out of that run, they'd be pretty confident they can attempt to lead all the way. Nancy Kay from wider gates has probably generally been driven conservatively, so she might come out, but I think Don't Wake Me Up will have the speed to lead. On its back is Chow Babe, who I thought was really good last start after its form maybe tapered off a little bit. Last start, not beaten too far by Grievous, was really good. A couple of 28s on the way home. So I think if it's each way odds, it could be a really good 1x3 type angle on Chow Babe in race 6.
Okay, Chow Babe, yeah.
And then in race 8, I thought there's a bit of gate speed in this race. Queen in the Corner's got outstanding gate speed. And Rattlin Lily was really good last start, I thought, at Gloucester Park. Bit unlucky. Checked late, she was still coming. She was wide a lot of the trip and was outstanding. But I thought Make Your Mark was really good in that race as well. Worked hard early to try and get outside the leader, and then battled on really well and wasn't being far at all in the finish. And it generally has pretty good gate speed. So I think with no back line, it should be able to drive through and do enough to hold Queen in the Corner, which is the key to the race for Vine. So I think if it can dig up and lead, it'll go really well.
All right, so that is Make Your Mark in race number 8. So tomorrow night, Soho Confidential and Mickey Jett in race 2 and 4 respectively for Matt. Chow Babe on the 1x3 basis for Ollie in race 6, and he's also with Make Your Mark in race number 8. Now, Matt, before we let you go this morning, and of course there'll be Trots WAX coverage for Pinjarra later on today, the APG sales this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me, absolutely. Yeah, really looking forward to the yearling sales on Sunday. We're going to have some coverage out there on track as well. It starts nice and early, but the Trots WA are giving away four $1,000 Westbred vouchers this Sunday at the APG Perth yearling sale. Just be at the sale to enter on the day. Winners will be drawn at 11 a.m. There's also a free sausage sizzle and happy hour at the yearling sale from 11 till 12, courtesy of the Trots WA. So make sure you get there nice and early and get involved in what is going to be a fantastic sale. After we saw the yearling sale parade yesterday, some talented youngsters are going under the hammer.
Beautifully done, Matt. We'll let you get to it. Enjoy today down there at Pinjarra. Good luck.
Cheers, boys.
There is Matt Young with us. And Ollie, great debut. Thanks for joining us this morning. We look forward to doing it all again next week, and enjoy what's to come over the next 7 days in harness racing.
Thanks very much, Tim.
There is Oliver County and Matt Young having a look at everything happening from the weekend just gone and a look to the early part of this week. We'll take a very short break here on Tab Radio.
On Tab Radio, Racing and Sport, this is Often Pacing.
It's great to have your company on this Monday morning. Tim Walker with you and with me in the studio. It's great to have the head of harness racing here at Racing WA, Cameron Brown, join us in the studio. Cam, good morning to you.
Hey, Tim. Happy Monday. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for coming down and joining us this morning. Let's get stuck straight into it because there's no shortage of harness racing news. Now, on Friday afternoon, we learnt that the Nullarbor is going to, and I think rightfully so, get Group 1 status in 2024 after what was a terrific opening edition.
Yeah, absolutely. It just adds another layer of intrigue to the race, really. The feature race, I suppose, process changed a couple of years ago where it's not as simple as putting the money up and getting the Group 1 tick. So it was terrific on Friday to hear after an application from the team through Harness Racing Australia to get our Group 1 sign-off. So it's all roads ahead to the Nullarbor this year.
Yeah, you were able to detail the process of getting it to a Group 1, the hoops that you had to jump through and how long it's been in the making?
Yeah, it's been a couple of months. As I alluded to, a couple of years ago, you just had to put the money up and you just get $1.25 million Group 1. Great, thanks for coming. It's closer now to the gallops, the thoroughbred system, where we need to apply, we need to vouch for the level of horses that we had in the first year, and that the stakes will remain for a few more years as well. So there were some hoops to go through. There's what they call a group racing panel that assess my application, and I'm happy to get the sign off the other day.
And clearly it's a good tick for the race, the fact that they're viewing the Nullarbor as being already worthy of a Group 1 race just 1 year into it.
Yeah, and it's no doubt the level of our quality, the quality of our free-for-all horses is exceptional. It stands up around Australia. We just have to look at the horses that go around every week, and the quality of horse that we're producing every Friday night, especially for our big races, is as good as it gets around Australia.
It certainly is. We're having a chat here to Cameron Brown, the head of harness racing here at Racing WA on Off and Pacing. Can you give us a little bit of an insight? Obviously, the Nullarbor itself, we got the news last week that was confirmed, Lavra Joe, he'll be in the Ram Racing Syndicate, Magnificent Storm, and also Spirit of St. Louis. Now, I know that there's a number of slots where they'll be filled very, very late in the piece, but just give us a bit of an idea on the momentum that's starting to be created around the Nullarbor with 30% of the field locked away for this year.
Yeah, it's all happening, isn't it? And I think there's a few big races coming up, firstly in New South Wales in the next couple of weeks with the Miracle Mile. I'm sure some slot holders will have their eyes on the Miracle Mile and the Chariots in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, we've got the Pinjarra Cup on Monday and then the Mountain Sprint a couple of weeks closer to the Nullarbor as well. So there will be, I'm sure, some announcements pretty soon, and it would all ramp up from here. I was only just tapping Justin Prentice on the shoulder yesterday at the sales tour and saying, hey, you know what? Wouldn't Never-Ending be a good one for the race too?
Yeah, exactly right. He certainly would be. And I've said it a number of times, I think he'd be a tremendous one to go and get, and he'd just about be at the top of the list. In terms of what we're going to see at Pinjarra next Monday, it's going to be a really cracking edition of the Pinjarra Cup. Magnificent Storm, Lavra Joe, they're both going to be there. Justin's going to be prominent, you would think, a number of bond runners as well. That's going to be a fantastic day for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with all the big guns coming back, Magnificent Storm, all these type of horses, it's really like the first, step towards the Nullarbor. We'll see a real class free-for-allers start Monday and press on for the next few weeks into April.
We spoke to Cody Charles last week on the Sports Daily, and he was on the aftermath again yesterday. So a busy day yesterday, as you just touched on early on, and good to see good representation out there having a look at hopefully the next wave of champions.
Absolutely, and Cody did a great job with Tim Gossage emceeing yesterday, and a really good turnout. The quality of the yearling produced in WA has come on leaps and bounds. I went to Copper Lodge as well yesterday, and there are a couple of yearlings by Better's Wish that really took the eye yesterday at Copper Lodge. And between them, Steve Johnson, Mike Howie, of course, and the rest of the crew, you can really see the yearling quality develop year after year here in WA, and it should be a stunning sale. The numbers were terrific yesterday. I think it's a leading sale in Australia, and of course there's going to be some lucky people win sales classics on Friday night and get some dollars in the bank and hopefully rock up on Sunday and spend, spend, spend.
Last Tuesday, obviously, it's one of the really good Tuesday night meetings at Gloucester Park, the Sales Classics, getting a handle on these two-year-olds and where they sit in terms of what we've got this Friday night, the two three-year-old races, which are shaping up to be pretty good. The nominations dropped just a matter of moments ago for that, and obviously the two-year-old races as well. We know that the heats last week sorted out who would be lining up this week, but must be pretty happy, I would have thought, with what we're going to see this Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And as form students would know, you can see some two-year-olds really improve week in just on the back of the heats from Tuesday. So there'll be some, I'm sure, jump out of the ground on Friday. And as always, it comes down to the all-important barrier draw.
Just a little snapshot going back earlier this month. We saw some races added to the Friday night programs to ensure that we got the 10 races stand up. And we have done so far over the month of February, 10 races every Friday night. And for the most part, pretty good fields, only very limited number of small fields.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll keep doing what we think is the best thing for the industry, and that is to fill fields on the Friday night. We've got some really good feedback, actually, in the last couple of weeks about the divided stakes from a couple of trainers, and the numbers are, again, strong for Friday. It looks like we'll get 100 total horses again, and that's the name of the game.
Yep, absolutely. And just one more, obviously, the W night that we're going to see in September, that was announced a couple of weeks ago. How's the response been to that? Because it's on paper, it's certainly shaping up to be a terrific night down there at headquarters.
Yeah, absolutely. Puts a smile on my face. It's exciting. Hopefully, in September, we'll see an abundance of horses nominated for the heats and where they'll all get their shot for Group 1 glory, really. So hopefully we get some increase in numbers. Hopefully people show some real spirit and nominate as much as they can to get their horses through to what is a lot of money for our two-year-old Westbred horses. Like $215,000 is as good or better than anywhere in Australia. And it's all about rewarding people for breeding locally and celebrating all things Westbred.
All right. Well, big week on the way. Sales Classic Friday night into the sale itself on Sunday. Thanks for coming down and joining us this morning on the first edition of Off and Pacing.
Beauty. Thanks, Tim.
Cameron Brown with us, the Harness Racing Manager here at Racing WA. All right. If you missed it earlier on, Ollie County and also Matt Young between them today, races 3-8. They were keen at Pinjarra. Ollie was keen on Scuttlebutt in race 3, Adelombo in race 4. Matt keen on Under the Stars and Zara Tyndall in race 5 and 6 respectively, the Michael Brennan double there. Ollie liked Heavenly Wage in race number 7, and for Matt in race 8, he was keen on the prospects of Rich American. That has been Off and Pacing for this Monday morning. We'll be back again next week. We will be on the public holiday, and we'll certainly look forward to a big Pinjarra Cup meeting down there. Good luck if you're going to have a bet today. Make sure that you do it responsibly. Thanks for tuning in to Off and Pacing. Up next, Jesse Earnshaw. He'll take you through the first part of race day.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelpline.org.au.